Jason Cairns is on the line here on this Wednesday, September 23rd. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
How do you like that for our new theme song?
That was one of my favorite songs. I love that that album.
Yeah, and it's a great... It all of a sudden struck me yesterday. I'm like, of course, we do 5 minutes together. And you start off with just 5 minutes and then live your day. You're trying to live in the moment, but thinking, hey, these next 5 minutes are everything. So,
right, right.
Hey, I'm asking people, I do not feel, I'm not putting out social media political comments. I'm going to leave that for other people, and there are plenty of people who are still doing that kind of thing. But I am asking for prayer for things and asking for Louisville. I've been there. You've been there.
Yeah, some of my best friends are from Louisville.
It's a wonderful city, but it's, I mean, they were shutting down the downtown. Again, they're bracing for the Attorney General of Kentucky to announce what's going to happen regarding the Breonna Taylor shooting, which was, again, the whole big mess. And so we're waiting on that. But it's kind of a powder keg there right now. So
it is. Yeah, and I haven't communicated with my friends from Louisville. You and I both know Eric Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You met him in Houston, and he lives in Louisville. And again, that's often where Men at the Cross, which is an organization I very much love, is held, is just outside of Louisville. And so, yeah, my heart goes out to them, too, and praying for peace there.
Absolutely. If you think you got a long commute, Louisville to Houston, that's pretty nasty.
Yeah, it is. I think he goes every other week. He flies down to Houston and spends the week there and then comes home. And you know, his wife and his kiddos are in Houston and are in Louisville. And so that's quite a jaunt.
Well, we're answering the questions of Fred. Who's Fred? Not Flintstone, but Fred, the friend of the late Henry Nouwen, Henry's book, Life of the Beloved. And so Henry writes this book for Fred and his friends, and Fred's like, yeah, but I got some questions, starting with who is God? So we're kind of unpacking that. Today, I don't know what's on my mind, probably overly ambitious in the next 3 minutes, but honestly, God is a storyteller who wants to be known. Do you agree?
I do. I think sometimes we do the Bible the disservice of looking at it as a series of principles and axioms and ideas to follow, but it's a story that, as our friend Larry Crabb says, it's a story that begins with a divorce, or it's a love story that begins with a divorce. And you know, there's this constant story of people acting out of their brokenness, out of their sin, and God coming to find them and revealing himself to himself over and over. And I just think it's, we see that if we're willing to look at it as a story, we can begin to understand it more fully that way.
Yeah, I think a couple of, I mean, the Bible itself, and maybe it's the old, but I've heard it described as 70 to 75% story, maybe even more than that. And so, and I think stepping back and seeing the creator is the ultimate storyteller. And
right.
And then I think Dickens himself called the prodigal son story, like, the greatest story. And Dickens knew a thing or two about story. And then,
yeah.
And that this storyteller, and it struck me, even with the death announcement of Ruth Bader Ginsburg on Friday night, I mean, my thoughts immediately went heavenward. And in terms of God is over this whole larger story, and I'm like, oh, wow. I mean, this morning in my kitchen, I was singing, God, I don't understand the way that you tell stories.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, good stories, there's a point in the middle where you think, how is this possibly going to resolve? But the author knows, you know, and I think that's kind of where we're at right now. We're in a period of time where things just don't make sense. We're confused by what's happening. We're confused by what's being written. And it's easy to fret. And mm-hmm. and yet the author of the story knows where he's going. He knows where we're going. It's not the future in heaven is not in question for
right.
those of us who are in Christ, right? I mean, that's the reality.
Right, and yet at times, I mean, a great story. My son and I just got done watching Breaking Bad. I heard Hugh Hewitt say on our sister station, WOGO, he was watching during the pandemic, so we were in good company. And it's quite
sure.
a story, but I mean, it's nothing like the story God has told and is telling. And Jason, we're on the stage.
We are.
We get to play bit parts. Jesus is the central figure. And the storyteller is knowable. And why don't we pick it up with that tomorrow, because that's too much to pack into one day.
Perfect. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Love you, Jason. All right. Great stuff. Check his site, jasoncans.com. Follow him on Facebook. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you going to share with us about the happy purchase?
Yeah, I'm getting a new sewing machine.
Hey.
I'm very excited.
So did you guys pick it out yesterday?
We picked it out yesterday. My mother-in-law went with me to a place in Eau Claire,
uh-huh.
and we picked it out, and it will be, it's scheduled to be delivered. Like, it's just like everything else, where everything is like shortages.
Yeah, right.
So
I know, in terms of production.
It's crazy.
We've been facing that. Yeah, if I could just say at One Source Imaging, we just got a bunch of printers in recently. You bought one from there. And yeah, you feel really blessed that they come in. You know?
Yes. So, yeah. It's just that way across the board. So supposedly it will be delivered today or tomorrow. Mm. And he's going to set it up, and he calls it sewing it in, to like make sure that everything is just right on there. And I'll pick it up on Friday. I'm very excited. It's a nice Janome.
And this will be the nicest sewing machine you ever had.
Oh, by far. My other sewing machine, I mean, it worked, but it was a Walmart purchase for maybe $100 back 15 to 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So this is definitely, it's not even a step up. It's like leaps and bounds up.
Well, congratulations.
So I'm very excited. And the best part, I'm going to a crafting weekend this weekend, like a crafting retreat. So I get to take my new sewing machine and learn all about it.
Wow.
I'm very excited.
You sound happy.
I am. I'm very excited.
A happy Hillary is a happy morning show.
That's right. That's right. Well, that, and we found out our refinance is closing next week on our home.
Yeah.
So
no, you're getting a great rate. Absolutely.
Hot diggity. We're excited.
I've been meaning to call that financial institution that you're working with. It is a few things today. It's International Day of Sign Languages.
Great American Pot Pie. It's been a long time since I've had pot pie.
Yeah, I hear you. Restless Legs Awareness Day.
And White Chocolate Day. Are you a fan of white chocolate?
I mean, I'll take it, yeah.
I'm not a huge fan.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I like the solid form, or I like it in a... Sure, it's good. But my wife's preference is dark chocolate.
Dark, yeah. Dean likes to get things that are like white chocolate coated, because he knows then I won't ask him for a piece.
That's clever. That's clever. Hey, I'm going to throw something new in here this morning.
Oh, okay, what do you got? Oh, Law and Order.
One of the stranger robberies 16 years ago, thieves who broke into a delivery truck in a parking lot in Sweden made off with about 150,000 pairs, or about 3 tons of low-cost reading glasses.
What?
I mean, did they...
Is that what they intended?
I know.
Seriously?
Exactly. Low-cost reading glasses. Police think it must have taken several hours to transfer the glasses to another truck.
That seems really bizarre.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
That seems like... I mean, was that like... What do you mean you got reading glasses? We wanted blank.
Yeah, like crystal glasses. Yeah, that seems really odd to me.
Yes. Later this morning, the number for the day is 120,000. What? Clothing-related injuries each year. I want you to ponder that. Just what is a clothing-related
As
injury?
As you age, you know, sometimes you get dressed and you're like,
I
pulled something in my shirt.
This button on the short sleeve shirt today. And the second one I even left open but I did not injure myself. There we go.
Speaking of clothing, I bought like the most beautiful sweater yesterday. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I got it home and I was so excited. And my daughter's like, "You are not going to wear that." I'm like, "Yes, I love it. I love everything about it."
It was like in the low 80s.
I know, but fall is coming. And it was a good price. I bought it.
All right.
My daughter's not happy.
Happy Hillary. She's back after 7 here on WWIB. So I see this study yesterday, and it's interesting. And it's an article that came out yesterday. It's headlined, "The Good and Bad News About Marriage in the Time of COVID."
Oh,
and you know, it's interesting. At the outset, when the lockdown was on in China, they talked about how harmful it had been to marriages and divorces. It skyrocketed there in China. But this particular study, it talked about how COVID has exacted the biggest emotional toll on married Americans who suffered the most financially. And that's understandable,
yes,
probably.
Yes, understandable.
There was some good news, though. They talked about the share of married men and women saying that their marriage is in trouble had declined from 40% in 2019, pre-COVID, to 29% this year. So fewer couples are saying their marriage is in trouble. It's actually helped.
Wow.
They say the bad news is couples are stressed out, marriage is down. But then there is good news. More appreciation, deeper commitment is going on. Huh. There's been less divorce. And
interesting.
Here's the thing, though.
Okay.
The share of married men and women ages 18 to 55. And I was just like, I'm 56. They don't care what I think anymore. I felt written off. I mean, it just hit me. And I realized we often will talk, even off air, about a key demographic for us is 18 to 54-year-old, particularly women.
Yeah.
And I'm outside of that one, too. I mean, there's different things. You will experience, my young co-hosts, you will experience things like being older than the Packer coach, which since LaFleur is so young, Caleb, you're pretty close to him in age. Being older than the governor, which I was older than Scott Walker.
Yeah.
No, not the current governor, Tony Evers, who's 66. Yeah. So this was just like, I'm outside of, like, you're just, what do you do with us?
Right.
I'm 56. I mean, am I written off or what?
You know, it is kind of weird, though, as you age to... When you're filling out questionnaires and it asks, you know, those demographic questions, mm-hmm. when you bridge to that next demographic and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm not in the 18 to 35 anymore.
I always liked it, like, when you're filling out demographics and there's like, you know, gender and marital status and income and stuff like that, too. Like, when I was a college kid versus now where it's like, hey, I bumped up a couple income brackets and stuff. But the aging part to it's like, oh, I'm not in the 18 to 30 anymore.
Yeah.
The thing is, right, I mean, I'm at the tail end of the baby boomers. The baby boomers is 46 to 64. I was born in 64. So there's still a lot of us. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of us. But I feel like they're like, yeah, you're just not our focus. So
you matter to us, Halvo.
Thank you. Striving to matter.
You matter to us.
No matter what your age, you are family here at WWIB, and we're so glad you've joined us.
You know, Dean and I enjoy going to a good museum. Some of them more quirky than others.
Eclectic.
We've gone to telephone museums and vacuum museums. I even went to a prison museum out in Colorado one time. That was interesting. Yeah. It was good times. We enjoy this.
So we dubbed this segment Eclectic Collections.
Yes, Eclectic Collections. So here we go. We found a list of unusual collections, and some of them even have their own museums. So starting things off, there's a collection of air sickness bags, and it is currently a museum exhibit.
Unused, though.
Unused.
It has 2,177 unique air sickness bags. I didn't even know. There it is. So, yeah.
There's Burnt Food. Deborah Henson Conant is the curator of the Burnt Food Museum, which began with her burning food, or actually a hot glass of cider, which had become a cinder.
I didn't know you
could. First and most impressive exhibit.
I didn't know you could turn a liquid into a cinder like that. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Way to go, Deborah.
Eclectic Collections Toothpaste. Dr. Val Kulpikov, a practicing dentist in Saginaw, Michigan, began collecting toothpaste from around the globe in 2002. Currently, he has over 1,400 items, and in March 2010, his collection was recognized as the largest in the world.
That is exciting. Sugar packets. Phil Miller has been a collector of sugar packets since 1978 when he started his first set with the U.S. presidents.
Mm.
Yeah.
Banana labels is an odd collection. Becky Martz collects banana and broccoli labels and bands, and she's got, get this now, almost 21,000 different banana labels. How is that possible?
Wow.
How does one, I mean, because these are like the little Chiquita stickers and stuff like that, right? So you just stick them on something to store them?
The only way to do it is she's gone to a lot of banana label conventions.
I did not know
there was such a thing.
That is awesome.
It's a convention for everything. Come on, COVID. We need to get back to normality. And finally, Band-Aid boxes. Kevin Sevitz unintentionally became a collector of Band-Aid boxes when he moved into his new house. Once owned by a buddy's great-grandparents, they left over 24 of the metal Band-Aid boxes, and now his collection has grown. You just roll with it.
Who knew?
So you don't find a collection. It finds you. Right?
I guess. You can... Weird things. You guys collect it? I collected canceled stamps as a kid because, like, I was a kid, so I couldn't really afford to buy like the new stamps, so I collected canceled ones.
Probably beer cans is the oddest thing.
Yeah.
Then sports cards, baseball, football, basketball.
Interestingly, the lead singer of the band Green Day, like, you know, from the 90s. Yeah. He is an avid stamp collector from, is it the Isle of Man? He has one of the most noted stamp collectors from some obscure nation. I'll look it up. Yeah, it's really a thing.
I got the commemorative quarters, too. There you go. When they came out with that.
I never made it all the way through, but I tried.
Being in radio, we're words people. We love words, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Indeed.
Well, the Washington Post asked readers to create a new word. Here's how. By dropping the first letter of an existing word.
Sounds
like an NPR game. It really does. Right? So anyhow, let's give this a go. Hillary,
All right, so we're going to go and start with Amished. Hungering for a simpler way of life.
Okay, so it was famished.
Famished.
Let's see, what do I have here? Diarrhea, running on about oneself. You can figure if you had a D at the beginning of that, what that one was before.
Ick pocket, a place to put your used Kleenex.
I love that one because it's great. So true. It's gross. I like this one. Oxtrot, a particularly ungraceful Dancing with the Stars performance.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, I'll get this one. Riminal. Take the C off criminal and put riminal. It's someone who doesn't clean up his toilet dribble.
Love it.
Oh, dear. Could be toddlers or could be full grown.
Yeah, there you go. And finally, purple is the color of vomit.
That's so perfect. From purple
See,
to purple.
See, I hear onomatopoeia in that as well, too, because like
purple. Yeah, yes!
Right. No, I'm sorry if anybody's eating right
good
now.
Good use of the word onomatopoeia.
Thank you.
I'm just saying, that's impressive. One of my favorite words to say.
It is.
I can't spell it.
No, that's a tough spell right there.
Well, those are fun.
A few words for you and a reminder now from Hawk Nelson about our words. 8:21, just about. Again, that gorgeous sunshine. Hope you're enjoying your day, Western and Central Wisconsin. We are the WIB Wake Up Show.
Well, here on the morning show, we're all pretty early risers. I think that's safe to say. Dare I say we are all the first to awaken within our households.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Pretty firmly. Mm-hmm. Yes. So yesterday morning, normally my alarm goes off at 5. Fine. Dean does not get up until, I don't know, sometime after I leave for work in the morning. It's sometime after 6:15. He's always in bed when I leave the house. So I wake up yesterday morning, 4:30.
Yeah,
in the
real
morning.
Early.
Early. About a half hour before my alarm. But I feel good. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, ready to start my day. But yet my blankies are warm. Mm-hmm. So what does one do in this situation but snuggie under the blankets further and start scrolling through things on my phone? Like, blankets pulled up over my head, so the light from my phone does not disturb.
Bright, so
yes!
You don't want to. Mm-hmm.
So it does not disturb my husband because I'm thoughtful like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm there under the blankies scrolling through my phone when suddenly, out of nowhere, loudly, some President Trump thing auto plays and like he's giving a speech. And I have a new phone, and so I couldn't figure out how to turn it off as quickly as I could have with my old phone.
So President Trump woke up your husband.
Poor Dean is like, whoa, what was it? What? I'm like, nothing. It's nothing. It's fine. Shh, go back to sleep. It's fine.
You know, it didn't always used to be that way. I mean, you could scroll through Facebook. There was a time when there were nowhere near as many videos on there. But now, yes, it's happened to me.
Yes.
And it can be early in the morning or it can be late at night when one's wife, my wife, is asleep. And then all of a sudden you're like,
whoa. And I know there's a setting you can change on there so things don't autoplay. And I really thought, like, I had set the setting so it didn't. So I don't know how this guy is suddenly talking loudly from my phone at 4:30 in the morning in my bedroom.
See, I'm old guy in our marriage. My wife my wife is still 29. I'm 33, and I'm the old man who falls asleep in his easy chair. And so sometimes, like, I'll fall asleep, sometimes even before the kids go to bed.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, middle of the night, I'm wide awake.
Nice.
And so I'll go up to our room and get in bed, but it's like, I missed the end of the game. I want to see what's going on. So I'll pull it up on my phone, and all of a sudden she's like, you know, it's like, why are the Lakers and the Nuggets playing in our room at 2:30 in the morning?
Right.
So
marriage is such a fun adventure, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
My wife is a sound sleeper, though. I mean, I learned from the honeymoon on that, like, I could have the game on. She's asleep. She's asleep.
Oh,
no really...
Dean is not. He is such a light sleeper. He is such a light sleeper. It drives me crazy because I'm a sound sleeper.
Lindsay?
She is not as heavy of a sleeper as I am because she always wakes up if the kids wake up.
See, that's what killed me. Dean is like the lightest sleeper known to man, and yet there could be a baby wailing in the next room, and magically he sleeps through that. He doesn't sleep through anything.
There is that mother-child connection, though, because my wife is a sound sleeper with the exception of when the kids were young.
Well, I mean, in the middle of the night and that phone screen lights up, it looks a little bit like... Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn Radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.